The OC podcast is proudly brought to you by beer52.com. And as a listener to the show, we would like to reward you with a free case of craft beer. All you need to do is pay the $2.95 delivery. Head on over to beer52.com/MFC and order your free case today. Beer 52 is a 5-star rating in Trustpilot, so it's easy to see that their members love their service. So head on over now to beer52.com/MFC and order your case.
Beer. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. It is McHugh.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself, Jay and Buster will look back in yet another victory, a 3-0 win over Livingston. We'll look ahead to Wednesday's game at St Mirren and what else takes our fancy over the next 40 minutes or so. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers.
How are you doing?
Well, doing great, and we have another chance to reflect on a great performance and a good victory as well, Jay. The game pretty much finished in 20 minutes. Motherwell very quick out the traps. Two goals for Jake Hasty. Curtis Main getting on the score sheet. Something we discussed last week. He badly needed a goal to his name. A very satisfying first half where I think the fluency, the pace, the enthusiasm, the desire, all the elements that have been lacking at times previously were all there. And I can't think of many better first half performances than the one we saw on Saturday at Fir Park.
Yeah, that pretty much covers it. The obvious comparison is with that, you know, the first spell under Mark McGee, when it was pretty much our game plan to go out and absolutely blow teams away, and that's exactly what we did against Livy, and it's rounded up, you know, a fantastic start to 2019 so far, out with obviously the cup competition. So to begin in, to, you know, the St Mirren game on Wednesday, not just on a run of wins, but, you know, the way that we've won the games, the way that we've approached them, the way we've played football, it's something that, you know, certainly we've discussed at length for months, and so have many Motherwell fans, whether it's in the pub, whether it's in social media, forums, whatever it is, you know, there are plenty of Motherwell fans out there who have raised the issues about the performances in terms of, you know, how we approach the game, the hoof ball, the back three with wing backs, try to shoehorn players into positions. You know, it was so clear that it was not just failing to really do anything on the park, but it was actively putting people off. So to see such a turnaround in a relatively short period of time is fantastic. Don't know exactly, you know, why it's happened. We could debate all day whether this was all part of Stephen Robinson's cunning plan, you know, to get us to the January transfer window and then bring guys, you know, in that allowed him to do this, or he's bowed to the pressure, or maybe he has, you know, just learned from his mistakes because he has a young manager and maybe, you know, he's built in confidence and he's sort of learned from things that have went on this season. But we'll probably never know the answer to that. And to be honest, it doesn't really matter. The way we're playing at the moment, it's great to watch. It's fantastic to see, you know, Campbell, Turnbull and Hasty not just getting games, but being, you know, the best players on the park. And yeah, it's great. It's just, you know, such a turnaround. You know, you look back a couple of weeks ago and Elliot Freer was, you know, our only winger, and now he's, you know, the third best winger we've got in a matter of days, you know, a few days in January. Suddenly Hasty and Uribe are there. And, you know, I kind of feel sorry a wee bit for Freer. He's waited so long to play in the wing and now, you know, I can't see him getting back in because both Uribe and Hasty have done so well. But I think in terms of Saturday's game, I think it was as perfect as it could have went. As you said there, you know, Curtis Main not only scores, but takes his goal like a guy who, you know, wasn't suffering from poor form and wasn't suffering from a drought. It's a phenomenal finish. Every player in the park was fantastic. I thought Gorin, again, was absolutely tremendous. He's like a new signing. A clean sheet for the back four and Gillespie. So, you know, as far as Saturday's game goes, I don't think it could have got any better, because even in that second half when you're sitting there maybe getting a wee bit frustrated at the time that, you know, we're not going on and scoring a fourth or a fifth, but on reflection I think we, you know, we saw out that second half, you know, brilliantly, really. And you know, by that stage, I think the clean sheet became the most important thing, because if we could get to the end of that game having blown them away in the first half and keep a clean sheet in the second half, then it was going to be a fantastic 90 minutes overall, and that's exactly what it was.
Buster, do we owe an apology to Stephen Robinson? I think we are possibly a bit knee-jerk, given that we speak after every game and emotions are heightened following a defeat, and we're possibly sometimes overly buoyed when we get a good result. The way that Stephen Robinson has turned this team around in recent weeks, I think deserves great praise. It was a man that we wouldn't have been too surprised to see lose his job after the Ross County game. To respond with 3 wins, 3 clean sheets, 9 points. We're now actually looking at the St Johnstone result yesterday and thinking, well, 7 points, 9 games to go. We've got a winnable game on Wednesday night. We could find ourselves, and it's a very big if at the moment, but we could find ourselves battling for a place in the top six. That is quite remarkable stuff from a team that seemed to be struggling and seemed to be absolutely destined for a relegation battle. So I think when we talk about Stephen Robinson, and I think some of the criticism that's come his way has been merited so far this season, but I think he really, really deserves a great deal of praise for the brave moves of introducing the young players into the team, sticking with that, and the results that he's getting just now.
Yep, you're very right. He deserves praise because the turnaround has been unreal. Does he deserve an apology? No, just no, he doesn't, because I think, as you says, you know, everybody had sort of basically been sick of the manner in which we were losing, the fact that we weren't creating anything whatsoever. You know, when it came to the Hibs game, I think, you know, I decided that I would just like to see us have some shots on goal. That's how bad it was getting. You know, it wasn't we were desperate for a win, we were desperate for a draw. Don't get me wrong, the points have obviously clearly helped as well, but you know, as Motherwell fans, you're used to seeing your team lose, but the way that we were losing without creating any opportunity, there was no way, as soon as we went a goal down, there was no way we were getting back into a game, basically, quite a lot of the time. So he doesn't, you know, deserve an apology. As you says, he deserves praise for turning that around and having to play the way we do. You know, in Stevie Robinson's own words, he's had to change the way that we play football. We can no longer play the sort of long ball rush that, you know, got us success in the Scottish Cups, the two cups last season. You know, but this season the cup runs weren't to be as successful or at all in the Scottish Cup's case. But, you know, the fact that it's changed, there's guys in that team who you can't, if you tried to kick it over, you know, their heads, it wouldn't work. Gorin, for example, you know, in the limited time that he played, I thought this guy's no involved here, and that's probably impossible to do with how we played, rather than, you know, him not being up to scratch. Because Gorin's like a brand new signing in January there as well. I think everything he does is just a bit fantastic. And again, you've got guys that want to get on the ball, like Davey Turnbull. Turnbull was obviously shown that before, you know, this minor miracle turnaround that we've had. But when you've got somebody like Gorin, Hasty, Turnbull, even Aribe, who all want the ball, you know, they want to play football with the ball. That's basically where it's come from, and it's absolutely fantastic to watch. You can hear for, you know, the songs that the Well Boys in the far end are singing. It's, you know, they're singing the praises of the young boys. So everybody seems to be enjoying it again. And as I say, the points obviously help, but I think even if, you know, we'd not got as many points, we hadn't got the wins, you know, we'd just shown that there was something there, I think people would be, you know, at least, I don't want to say happy because that's not the right word, but you know what I'm getting at, there'd be something there and people would be pleased to see that things could possibly change. It don't mean it's went from, you know, 0 to 100 here, but it's fantastic. Apology no, praise very much so, and you know, there's nothing better than I had a quite a quite a dig at Stevie Robinson, you know, saying he can leave if he wants. There's no, everybody was saying the exact same thing, basically, but it's great that he makes us, you know, eat our own words. So fair play to the guy, and that's what I want him to do. Anytime anybody in the Motherwell top, anytime any of us or any Motherwell fans criticise him, the best response is obviously to make us think, I was talking utter shite there, but you know, that's not always going to work that way. But this, so far, then it's been fantastic, and you know, as I say, deserves all the praise you can get there.
And Jay, last week we talked about David Turnbull and how fantastic it would be to secure him in a new contract. Well, that worked out quite well, because on Wednesday of last week he signed a new contract, and he'll now remain at the club for the foreseeable future. A great bit of news. But we're greedy. We look at Jake Hastie, whose deal's up at the end of the season. Alex Rodriguez-Garin, his deal is up at the end of the season. Let's see more activity in terms of securing players to new deals. Jake Hastie has been a revelation since he came back from Aloha. Alex Rodriguez-Garin, as Busta said, feels like a new signing. These are two players that it would be fantastic to see tied down to new deals at Fir Park.
Yeah, I think there will certainly be deals offered. I think it would be crazy to assume that, you know, that there was any doubt over that. But yeah, you don't want to have to go through the situation with David Turnbull with every player that you've got. You know, you want to get them tied down. So it would be good to get it done and dusted. And it's a great position to be in. Obviously, you don't want to get too carried away. We have played, you know, some relatively poor, you know, even that Hibs side that came to Fir Park were pretty poor on the night. But Buster's right. It's, you know, it's the way we're playing. You know, I've consistently said this season that I wouldn't have sacked Stephen Robinson. You know, I don't think there was any justification for Stephen Robinson to leave his job, because he was still actually technically overachieving by having us in ninth, considering you'd given him a budget for 10th and told him to avoid relegation. But the concern was the way we were going about things, the performances. So it is, I think Buster's right. You know, if we had lost to, if Hibs had maybe creeped into it at the end of the game and won 2-1, or we'd maybe, you know, just picked up a point against Livingston but still had that fantastic you know, attacking performance in the first half, I think people would be content, because they'd be sitting there thinking, right, I'm entertained at least. You know, I can go to Paisley on Wednesday and I'm excited about seeing Hastie. I'm excited about seeing, you know, Aribi and Turnbull and Campbell. And that's exactly what a Motherwell side should be doing. So, yeah, as many of these guys as we can get tied up for next season. Because I would like to think that regardless of why Stephen Robinson has made these changes, whether, as I said earlier, it was all part of the plan, or, you know, he's done it because he's realised that he should do it, or whether he's done it as a last roll of the dice because he felt under pressure, it doesn't really matter. But what I would like to see now is that he builds on it, that, you know, it isn't just a temporary measure, that it isn't just, right, we'll go with this until the end of the season, but then I've got another transfer window to bring in, you know, folk who can play my 3-5-2 and launch the ball forward. So that will be the next questions that need to be answered. You know, we have a team, a young team that can play attacking football. I think both Grimshaw and Tate have done phenomenally well, you know, in the way that they've played at fullback to allow Aribi and Hastie, two very direct and attacking players, to do what they do. So build on it, you know. Take this as our new style of play. Take this as our identity. That's what Motherwell fans want when they go to games. They want to see, you know, an identity. They want to see young players. They want to be entertained. And so I think it's important that regardless of what happens in terms of who signs new deals and who doesn't, you know, as long as we're offering deals to the guys because we want them to continue playing in the way they're playing, you know, in that team. And let's start looking for targets that can complement that. Because as I said, that's the big concern. Don't want to start putting negatives, but there's no point if we start playing this fantastic football, or maybe not fantastic football, but, you know, it certainly feels like that because we've been starved of it for so long. But, you know, we're starting to entertain, we're starting to be excited, we're starting to be positive. So let's hope that is Stephen Robinson's, you know, new philosophy and new style that he wants to take forward. Because if we get to the summer and we're offering contracts based on who can play the hoofball, or we're looking for targets, you know, big, strong guys who can, inverted commas, win the battle, then, you know, we may go backwards again. And that's something we can't allow to happen, because this is an exciting young team. And if we can get the guys you've mentioned on longer term deals, then it's an exciting team that can continue to be exciting beyond the summer.
And Buston, I think another key factor is consistency in the team lineup, which for the third successive game was unchanged on Saturday. Is that success kind of, it breeds confidence? You can see that kind of flowing through the team now. And also, I think there's a bit of familiarity with that starting 11. Players look comfortable in their roles. I thought, despite the fact that it was a game more where the headlines will be grabbed by the attacking players, I thought Tom Aldred and Charles Dunn both had very good games on Saturday as well. Richard Tate, excellent again. So we've got players all over the park that are playing well. And that is, I think, stemming from a settled lineup where, of course, we'll have to make changes through injuries, suspensions, etc. But not making four or five changes every game certainly does help along the way.
Yeah, it certainly feels like, you know, times this season we have made changes for the sake of making changes, or maybe to get, you know, someone back into the team. Although having said that, you know, certain points as well, we had times where we would have changed the personnel 100% if we could have, you know, based on how bad some of the games were. But as you said, you know, you look at it over the last three games, there hasn't been anyone who's had a bad performance, I don't think. There was certain times where, you know, maybe Charles Dunn was a bit shaky and Dundee, you know, it's wee things like that. But as you say, having a settled lineup, going for it, the guys, as I say, young boys, want to play, want to get on the ball. That's what they're doing. It's great. And up front was sort of the concern, because Curtis Main, I thought, was putting in decent performances. There was times again where maybe he wasn't having the greatest of games, but maybe he's just adjusting to, you know, having to do that sort of role without having someone right up beside him. But you know, Saturday there, he's got a goal there, his first goal in a while, took it absolutely brilliantly. And there's times where I thought he would, you know, he maybe snatched at one or two chances he's had, and you know, it was especially highlighted against Hibs, where he had one or two that he probably could have took an extra few touches, you know, been these powder puff shots or just completely squibbed them. So I think that having a settled lineup has certainly helped. And as you said, you know, that's not going to be ideally, you know, if everybody performs and it goes on like that, that'd be absolutely fantastic. And, you know, that would mean there would be something, there'd be no reason to change it, I suppose. But injuries, even if there was, you know, one change here, one change there, and it was maybe a tactical thing, those things have to work out to be obviously given the look back and the nod of approval in the pub afterwards. But, you know, there's maybe going to be times like that, but it's hopefully we won't see the sort of wholesale changes, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 at a time. So again, coming up on Wednesday, when we get on to it, I'm sure everybody will say, we might as well keep the same team. There's nothing that I think we have to tactically do different in regards to St Mirren. They don't offer any sort of special threat. So same team again for me there, please.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like a good time to then go on and discuss the St Mirren game. We're on the back of four successive league wins. And let's not kid ourselves. I think despite the fact we have won all of our league games in 2019, there still is that stinging disappointment that come the weekend when we'll see many of our league counterparts and teams that even in league below us, and a few leagues below us will be playing in the Scottish Cup. We'll not be part of that. But we've got a good opportunity here to extend our run to 5 league wins in a row against us at Merseyside that looked still to be very low in confidence. Of course, they did beat us at Fir Park before Christmas, which I think we all regarded as a very, very poor result, and what was a very poor game. Despite that, we deserved to lose, I think, over the 90 minutes. Jay, I guess it's a tale of two matches there. We We won comfortably at St Mirren back in October. They've obviously come to Fir Park and taken all 3 points in December. But they're fighting out at the bottom. They're low in confidence. We seem to be completely the opposite at the moment. So we should be going there looking to attack and hopefully coming away with 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, when you're doing well, expectations rise. You know, a lot has been made every so often when we play against, whether it's Aberdeen, Hibs, Kilmarnock, whatever, about how we are, you know, you hear occasionally the sort of rumblings from players and even the manager about how, you know, we're the underdogs and we prefer that. But this is one game that we're certainly not. And that goes with the territory. When you're on the kind of run that we're on and we're playing the football we're playing, and we're up against a side, you know, stranded at the bottom of the table, we are overwhelming favourites for Wednesday night, and it's a game I expect us to win. And that's, you know, something that the players will have to get used to. You know, if we're going to play well and win games, then there is certain games now we're going to begin into, and the expectation is going to be heightened. And that's not necessarily a bad position to be in, because Robinson has, and even the players have made, you know, a lot of points in the past about, you know, spells when the confidence has been really low. So this should be a point when the confidence is, you know, through the roof. A lot of momentum, a lot of consistency, as you guys have discussed, in terms of team selection. So it's a game that, it's not just a game that we, you know, can win. It's a game that, on the back of the run that we're on, we should be winning. And I think there's nothing wrong with having that expectation. You know, Stephen Robinson should be putting out the same team. Even if, you know, it's incredible to think, but even if, you know, tomorrow morning Ross McCormick turns up for training and is 100% fit, he should still be on the bench on Wednesday night, because you just don't touch that 11. You know, it's done so well the last couple of games. But I'd be sending out that 11, you know, fully expecting a victory and letting them know that that's the case, because that's how it should be. We shouldn't be getting into games still hoping for results. If we're going to play like that and we're going to create chances, you know, I'm not suggesting that we should get on the players' backs if things aren't going our way. There will still be, you know, defeats and drop points to come. Of course there will be. But it's a game that we should be looking to win. And based on what I've seen after the Ross County game, I fully expect us to do so.
And Buster, that's a good point, isn't it? We will, with a young side, inevitably suffer some spells of inconsistency where performance levels won't hit the heights that we perhaps saw in the first half against Livingston. But that being said, St Mirren won't relish coming up against Motherwell at this moment in time. I don't think they'll relish coming up against anyone, although they won't have the Andrew Dallas factor and the likelihood of 4 penalties being awarded to Motherwell. But as I say, confidence will be high on the back of a run of victories. And it's just a case of more of the same then, surely. We've got to be looking to put out a very similar team, if not exactly the same team, and go out and take the game to St Mirren's side low in confidence. If we can go ahead, there's a possibility their crowd might turn against them. They're quite notorious for being very hard to please as it is. Yeah, we've got to go out and be positive here.
Yeah, I think so. We've, you know, obviously we're in a decent league run here. I think it's four wins, but is it like 3 clean sheets in a row as well? So you know, everything looks rosy as far as you can tell. But I think it's, you know, these sort of games we've got to be a bit wary of as well. You know, St Mirren will be looking, thinking, you know, they're couple of positions above us in the league. You know, they're not sitting fourth on the table or anything. They should be, they're at home. They should be thinking as well, we have to get the 3 points here, especially with the predicament they're in, you know, sitting at the bottom of the table. But again, just quickly looking at their form, their form actually seems to be the exact opposite of ours. They've lost their last 4 league games. In between that, they won another cup game. You know, we've went the other way. So it's something where, as I've said, that the team, I think, will and should be the exact same, barring any injuries. And, you know, I think that we should be looking to go there, take 3 points again. And it'd be ideal to see the come out all guns blazing again, I suppose. You know, as Jay compared it earlier, the old Mark McGee sort of thing, blow them away in the first half hour. and then game management after that, because that's what Saturday was. It fizzled a wee bit. You know, there was times where you'd forgot, but you'd be watching the game and thinking, actually, it's 3-0 to us, or, you know, we don't really have to push for anything more. So brilliant game management, is, you know, as it worked out. We kept a clean sheet, 3 goals, went level with Livingston. So more of the same, please. And, you know, as you say, the one game at a time, but I think we're only 2 points behind Hibs. St Johnstone, if they didn't get a, you know, a big gap there. I think it's 5 or 6 points, but, you know, they just going to keep this wee run going, and who knows what will happen. But as you say, it's not all going to be rosy. So as long as we don't revert back to how it was, you know, that's fine. The season is all but done, I suppose. But you know, as long as we can turn up on a Saturday and feel we're getting our money's worth, then fair enough. That's all we really want. And, you know, the points go along with it brilliantly.
So would you say it sounds like you've got the league table in front of you, because you don't normally come away with wee stats like that you've researched beforehand?
Yeah, I did. I looked it up. Sorry, yeah.
So we've got an 18-point gap between ourselves and St Mirren. We're level now in points with Livingston, 2 behind Hibs, 7 behind St Johnstone. Now, I know that it's possibly not time that we can get carried away and say we've got a chance of the top 6, but we are going into, we've been on a run of games against teams in and around us in the table. St Johnstone go to Aki's and Wednesday night, so that is a game that they'll regard as a winnable type of fixture. Is it season over, or could we perhaps get results in our next couple of games away to St Mirren and at home to Hearts, and then could we consider ourselves contenders? There is 9 games to go, only 7 points separating ourselves in the top 6. Could we achieve the almost impossible? I come back to Mark McGee's season in charge, where he took over and I think we lost to Kilmarnock to go bottom of the table in February. We ended up finishing the season in 5th place. So is it an absolute pipe dream, or could we actually whittle back that deficit?
It's a hard one. It's a hard one because, you know, St Johnstone, I think they started this season pretty poor and then they went in a decent run. And they're obviously doing, you know, still pretty reasonably well as well. So it's a hard one. And as you says, you know, we're playing teams that are in and around us at the moment. That's where we'll obviously be looking to pick up the points anyway, especially in those games. But I think, again, just quickly changing this page, there we go. We've got Celtic coming up, Kilmarnock away, Hibs away, which, you know, although we were just beat them, Hibs away is a different kettle of fish there as well, and Aberdeen away. So I think it's maybe a bit of a pipe dream, but it all depends on, you know, as I say, if we can keep this miraculous run going. And I think to be fair, actually, if we do even achieve getting anywhere near 6th position, well, been fucking brilliant for the last part of the season. So, you know, that would be great. But I think it's all but done and dusted, and we're probably just going to be jockeying for, you know, 7th position, hoping to, you know, up the prize money, I suppose, come the end of the season.
And that's certainly an improvement, though, isn't it, Jay? We talked that it was almost inevitable that we would finish 9th and top of that, what seemed like a mini league at the bottom of the table between ourselves, Aki's, Dundee and St Mirren. We're now runaway winners of that, and we will pick up a trophy soon, hopefully. But the and Livy, we've pegged back Livingston, we've narrowed the gap with Hibs to just 2 points. A Hibs team that are going through a fair bit of disharmony, and they look very, very unsettled. Obviously, a change of manager on the way as well. So we are looking up, and that's another positive. I know that we'll possibly finish short of the top 6, but to even be considering 7th place, that sounded a bit pie in the sky only 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, I know that it's easy to say because, you know, we're not managers, and I know that obviously the club you know, still budgets for 10th this season, despite finishing 7th last season. But I'm a big believer that if you finish, you know, 7th one season, then, you know, your objective or your aim and your ambition for the following season should be to at least achieve the same, if not better that. You know, that's how you progress, that's how you develop. So we're in a position now where absolutely we should be targeting 6th place. If the plan is to, you know, hit this great run of form, play well, you know, build an exciting side, and then just play friendlies between now and the end of the season because we're all right with, you know, 9th, then, you know, we might as well just go back to accepting the season's over. Will we finish 6th? It's a massive, massive ask. If we were to do so, it would be an outstanding achievement. But I would like to think, in fact, I can't think, you know, when you think about guys like David Turnbull, Jake Hastie, Alan Campbell, you know, Grimshaw, do these strike you like guys who, if you asked them, are you aiming for 6th, they'd say no? I would imagine not. You know, I can't imagine they're going to be out shouting about it, but we are in a position where we are absolutely safe. You know, we are, you know, 15 points ahead of Anaki's side, who have only managed to, you know, accumulate 15 points the entire season to date. The goal difference, you know, between ourselves and the bottom three clubs is, you know, astronomical. We are safe. So the lowest we are going to finish this season is 9th. So absolutely we should be looking above. That's not to say that I expect us to finish 8th or 7th or 6th, but I would be very disappointed if that wasn't now a target, because it is the, you know, it is doable. It's not an easy task. It will be very, very difficult. We'll need probably a bit of luck at times. And we've already said that we're quite a young side. You will get days where things won't go to plan. But we're 7 points behind St Johnson. You know, there is absolutely no reason whatsoever that we can't target, you know, a 6th-place finish and just see where it goes. Because, as you said, we spoke at length about how we kind of all accepted that we were probably going to finish 9th. And even if we do now, if the season, you know, continues the way it's going in terms of performances, in terms of style and entertainment, but results just don't quite go our way and we finish 9th, I think we would, you know, at least be a bit buoyed by that, a bit more positive going into the summer, that we'd ended the season, you know, being entertaining. But yeah, absolutely. Aim for 6th, because if you're not going to aim for 6th, then there's no point in turning up. And I would imagine that even, you know, the younger players are probably the first to, you know, guys like Hastie and Turnbull, with the amount of confidence and swagger they've got in a football park, I would imagine they're probably amongst the first to say that they're absolutely, you know, aiming for 6th place.
Yeah, it's exciting times ahead, and it's definitely the first time that I've said in a while that we're excited about going along to the football, excited about what lies in front of us, particularly given the disappointment at the Scottish Cup. And I know that's the second time I've mentioned it, but I still think that it's a huge, huge disappointment to have started the year on. But what a great recovery so far. And let's hope that this run can continue, because looking at the next two fixtures, I certainly don't believe there's any reason why not. So let's see what Stephen Robinson and the team can come up with in the next two games and take it from there, I guess. Guys that won't be featured and the remaining games of the season are Aaron Taylor-Sinclair and Gail Bigramana, who both have left Motherwell. Taylor-Sinclair moving out on loan before he'll permanently depart the club at the end of the season. Gail Bigramana, a bit of a shock move to Hibs to join up there. George Newell also went out on loan prior to the window closing as well. No bases coming in. We thought that there might be a wee bit of movement, a wee bit of scope if there was players went out. Alan Burrows saying that there was a few attempts and a few irons in the fire that didn't quite come off. But the news that came the day before the window closed buster that David Turnbull had signed a new contract, the emergence of Jake Hastie into the team, the emergence of Alex Rodriguez-Garin coming into the team. It feels like we did a lot more business during the window, of course. Ross McCormack and Gabole Aribe coming in at the start of the window got us off to a good start. We thought there might be a bit more, but it certainly feels like it's been quite a productive and a window that's brought quite big change to the club and the mindset of the club as well.
I think, you know, we done our business at the beginning of the transfer window, so we got the guys that we were obviously looking to get in, and the outgoings seemed to be more of a not so much a budget a wage bill cut, you know, or anything like that. It was just sort of Biggie was probably earning quite a decent wage with us. And, you know, we've had the chance to sort of, I don't know if we even thought about fees or anything. I've never read it anywhere. So I think it seems as though we've just sort of cut our losses and, you know, you can go here and they'll pay your wage for the rest of the year, basically. Sounds like it's very similar with ATS as well. There was other guys who there was rumours floating about, basically Salmon. I think Maine had a couple of rumours about him as well at one point during the, you know, during the window. But, you know, the guys that we brought in, who actually came from elsewhere, were done very early. And as we mentioned, you've got Gorin, who's like a brand new signing. You've got Hasty, who's come back from being on loan at Alloa, I think it was. So, you know, there has been maybe four out and four sort of newish faces. I think it was a pretty decent transfer window for ourselves. You know, there's maybe a disappointment that Richard Tate has to play left back or will be playing left back, because I know a lot of people don't seem too chuffed with that for some reason. I don't think he loses anything on either side, to be honest with you. Grimshaw's come in and Grimshaw's done really well. You know, again, he was maybe one of the ones who had a bit of a dodgy performance at points against Dundee, but again, he's the type of guy who comes in and does a job. Sometimes he's absolutely phenomenal. The rest of the time, he's there and he gets by. He doesn't really let you down. So I think our transfer window was a good gin. We seem to have got rid of people that were probably not going to feature anyway. You know, Ryan Bowman, Bigger Amana, Ross McLean even left as well. I can't even mind where he was in loan, but signed for another team. I think it was Falkirk. So, you know, it's
you've not pretty mentioned your favourite that also left.
Wee Alfredo. You kind of see, be fair, it wasn't to be. I just loved the. I was a big fan of Mario Balotelli back in the day, and I think that's what it was. You know, just the Italian Guinean sort of thing. I was like, that's it. He's our Mario Balotelli. Doesn't know how to put his jumper on or a bib on, whatever it was, but we'll come out, be quite good, and then be a greeting face prick. I was hoping that's exactly who Alfredo would have been, but well, wasn't it to be? So, but you know, it says we got our players in. Ross McCormick obviously is a massive coup for us, but right now it's not really worked out the way MD thought or hoped it would, due to the fact that he was massively unfit. I don't even know when the last time he played. Hopefully, you know, he'll come into it. But as Jay said earlier, you know, if the team keep playing like this, he's definitely not going to be walking into the first team. So there's a wee bit of competition there as well. And, you know, as you said, but you mentioned Paul Aribe, he's sort of blown hot and cold for me. I didn't think he was very good at Dundee either. I think Dundee was just one of those games, to be fair, actually. But, you know, he was trying things in Dundee and they just weren't coming off for him. So, and then, you know, he was running riot there against Livingston, dribbling past everybody. Maybe a wee bit of a shady dive that he got a booking for. And that's, yeah, I think that eventually ended up with Freer coming on for him. But, you know, as I say, we've come through January there, we've got a couple of changes, and it's looking pretty decent. So, you know, let's see where it takes us.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jay, and Taylor Sinclair, a guy that didn't get much game time, I don't think we really can make much of a judgment on him. His injury record possibly dictated that he was limited to very few appearances. Gilbert Romana, I was surprised at how many. I think it was approaching 60 first-team appearances for Motherwell over an 18-month spell at the club. A guy that arrived promising quite a lot, and I think maybe because of the Coventry link with Joe McElvey and Marty talking him up, we thought that we were perhaps getting a better player than the one that certainly arrived. He didn't really suit our style a great deal. I don't think he was willing enough to adapt to our style either. It was a surprise to see him going to another Scottish club. It was more of a surprise, actually, that he then went out and said that he was willing to do the dirty work, because I certainly didn't see any signs at Fir Park that he was willing to do so. But good luck to him. He seemed like a big character in the dressing room. He did have wee flashes that he was a real talent. And I guess it's just one that wasn't quite fulfilled.
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of says it all, you know, that your reaction to finding out that he played 60 games for Motherwell was one of surprise, because, you know, it's hard to really remember him contributing a great deal. And, you know, that's not trying to be, you know, harsh on the player. It might just have been one of those occasions where, you know, his face didn't fit or whatever. You know, you sometimes get a player where it just doesn't work out at certain clubs. You know, I know a few folk have kind of tried to make the point that, you know, our style didn't suit him. But with all due respect, you know, our style didn't really suit David Turnbull, a 19-year-old with, you know, a handful of first-team appearances to his name, who went into the side and blew everybody away. So, you know, there was still the opportunity for Biggie to do far more than he did. I know there's obviously a lot of, you know, a bit of a backlash or sadness over his leaving. I personally think if we didn't live in an age where there was a lot of media content and, you know, social media, I don't think MD would have been that bothered. I think, you know, he's a really, really likeable wee guy, seemed absolutely brand new, great personality. And I think that, you know, a lot of folk have maybe sort of allowed that affection for Biggie, the personality, to kind of cloud their judgment of him as a footballer. Because and then I suppose Aaron Taylor Sinclair's maybe the opposite, in that, you know, I don't think I ever saw him smile the whole time I was at Fir Park. He just seemed to be kind of permanently sad in just about every photo. But it never really worked out for him as well. Again, injury concerns, never really took his opportunity when it came. Although, in fairness, you know, in December, I think he had one or two games where he maybe looked as though he had something to offer. But for me, I think we've handled the January transfer window brilliantly. I think if you're a club like Motherwell, the two things that you need to do or you set out to do in any transfer window is to clear some of the deadwood and improve your team without breaking the budget or breaking the bank. And I think that's exactly what we've done. We've brought in Uribe, who, you know, as Buster said, maybe wasn't fantastic up in Dundee, but he's contributed a great amount so far. Very entertaining player. You know, the kind of player that when he gets the ball, you wonder if he even knows what he's going to do with it. But he'll be a fantastic asset for us until the end of the season. Ross McCormick, you know, regardless really of what happens there, just the positivity and even what he can maybe offer in training and things like that. You know, the experience of, you know, working with guys like Hasty will be invaluable for them. So I think the guys have brought in fantastic. You know, you've said yourself, you know, that we've almost brought in new signings in the likes of Hasty and Gordon. You know, that first team has been undoubtedly improved over January. And, you know, as nice a guy as Biggie was, I lump both Biggie and ATS in the category of deadwood. So I think it's been a fantastic January transfer window for us, because that is what you set out to achieve. You set out to, you know, improve the side and clear some of the deadwood. And I say some of the deadwood because, you know, I think we would all agree that we've maybe not quite cleared it all out. But it's a step in the right direction, and I think we should be very, very pleased with what we've achieved over January.
Yeah, absolutely. A very positive episode of the podcast yet again. We're making a bit of a habit of this, to be honest, and I'm quite enjoying it. What we'll do is we'll wrap this up for this week. We'll be back at the weekend and we'll look back on the game at St Mirren and look ahead to the fixture against Hearts at Fir Park. Guys, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Cheers. And just one final point to keep the positivity going. You know, as I mentioned, for Les Hutchison extending the double your money offer until the end of the season. Well, Society raised about 200 grand, well, just under 200 grand in 2017, which is record-breaking. Then bettered that in 2018 with over 200 grand. So sitting about 400 grand at the moment, and, you know, half a year or 5 months, or I suppose 4 months now, it's February, to hit an extra 100 grand. And that would hit the limit set by Les at the very start, and would see, you know, about £1 million, essentially, to the good for the club. So that's something else to be positive, and maybe something for potential Well Society members or pledgers to maybe think about between now and May.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic gesture, and it's fantastic he has kept that going over a prolonged period of time. Another event coming up towards the end of the month is the sleep out as well. if you jump onto mfcpodcast.co.uk, you can find out more about that. But we'll go into more detail on that one next week. Guys, thanks again.
That. If he's up for the Super Bowl last night, he's probably fell back asleep.
Sorry, I was actually talking there, but I did press the mute button and I didn't realise I'd done it.
You've been listening to the MSD podcast, and we'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.